Patrick White has spent a lot of time at the memorial outside Shanksville and knows it well. Its rolling, forested hills, its stretches of grassland, its rows of mountains. Over the years, he's also visited a lesser-known landmark, a chain of bright orange ponds about a mile from the crash site. He tells me about them as we sit in his car near the crash site during a heavy rainstorm.
In this case, it's kind of the liquid heart of Flight 93 in the sense that the water is drawn from the deep subsurface mine and pumped up to the surface and is treated through a series of ponds that flow ultimately as cleaned water.
As a lawyer, White represented the families of Flight 93 during negotiations to buy the land for the memorial. It was personal for him. His cousin, Louis Joey Nackey, was one of the 40 passengers and crew on board. So he saw the environmental cleanup process firsthand.
And I think it's a part of, such a critical part of the whole intent to heal the land, to heal the country, to heal the world.
He says that healing meant taking care of polluted water, known as acid mine drainage, from the site's long history of coal mining. It took several years and a lot of work from a lot of people.
I think it's up this way.
Someone who played a major role was Joe Pizarczyk. We're headed to the water treatment ponds. You can't see them from the memorial itself. They're over a mile up the ridge and tucked behind reeds and wildflowers. But when you do get close, they're hard to miss.
Oh, that is orange.
Yep.
Wow.
And we'll just stop right here on this one. Lambert's Run used to be that color. It wasn't from this water. It was from the abandoned discharges.
Pizarczyk directed the State Department of Environmental Protection's Bureau of Mining and Reclamation when the talks about the future of the site were happening. We're standing on a gravel road that cuts across the ridge. In front of us is a pond that's many yards long. What you're hearing as Joe talks is water, about 1,000 gallons every minute, being pumped out of an old underground mine. By the time the water gets to the end of the pond, it's bright orange. If you look to the left and a little ways downhill, you can see another pond nestled in the grass.
It's another orange one. It's not quite as vibrant orange as this one because it's one of the ones in the series.
The water is orange from the iron it picked up, along with other metals, as it flowed through the coal mines. As it trickles through the ponds, more and more of the iron reacts with oxygen and settles on the bottom. Once the water leaves the ponds, it goes into Lambert's Run and then the Stony Creek River, relatively iron-free. These treatment ponds were a long time in the making. The memorial honors the 40 passengers and crew of Flight 93 who tried to regain control of the cockpit when the 757 was hijacked on September 11, 2001. They're credited with stopping the plane from hitting the U.S. Capitol. Their actions likely saved hundreds, if not thousands, of lives. The plane crashed near a partially reclaimed surface mine owned by PBS Coals.
On the day of the crash, I didn't know that. I learned about it shortly after we were back at work.
A few months later, Pizarczyk took over as director of the DEP's mining program. By 2003, PBS had stopped mining the area and was well on its way to a stamp of approval from the DEP, saying it had taken care of its acid mine drainage problems.
When the inspector was doing the final inspection for final bond release, an acid mine drainage discharge was discovered in the area that had been fenced off and declared a cemetery by the Somerset County coroner because of where the remains were.
Since it couldn't build a treatment system on that land, the coal company set up the pump and settling ponds I visited with Pizarczyk. Officials estimated using that system until no polluted water was left would cost $9 to $13 million. PBS said it would sell the land at that price to the families of Flight 93, who were planning the memorial.
The families did not have that money. They were trying to raise money, and nobody would give them money because they didn't have the land, and so they were in a catch-22.
What happened next is the subject of a paper by Lisa Emili, an environmental scientist at Penn State Altoona and co-authored by Pizarczyk.
It's the first time I really had to, I had to research something that wasn't like geochemistry, that wasn't science. That is the first time I have ever had to deal with like something so emotional to do with my research.
She says the solution was something of a balancing act.
It's not just the typical way we treat acid mine drainage.
For one thing, regulators did something they wouldn't normally do. They allowed PBS to stop removing a metal called manganese for 1 year while the Fish and Boat Commission watched for impacts on wildlife and water supplies. Amelie says it reported none, so the DEP gave this site an exception. Once the company no longer had to remove manganese, the most expensive part of the process, the cost of treatment dropped enough for the families to purchase the land. Manganese has largely been regulated in drinking water because it can affect the color and taste. But research has suggested that chronic low levels of exposure could cause neurological problems, especially in children. It's being treated at the site now. But Pazarczyk acknowledges back then, regulators weren't sure what the effects of manganese in the stream would be when they started the one-year trial period. He says it felt like it was the only option left to move the memorial forward.
I went to Washington to meet with some congressmen. I literally had staffers, they were buttonholing me in the hallway, asking me to fix this because they were alive because of what the family and crew did, the crew and the passengers.
Patrick White stands in a meadow near the crash site as the rain finally lets up. Everything has that green, fresh smell you get right after a storm.
You know, water that fell from the sky like today. And it, you know, works its way down through the rock and strata. And as it does, it's in a sense contaminated. We bring it back up to the surface. We clean it and treat it and send it in a way to do what it was intended to do. And to be a kind of cycle of natural healing.
He's seen the memorial materialize from a concept to the visitor center and trails, wall of names and tower of voices. And he's watched life grow around it.
In the fall, when the leaves turn red, it's kind of like maybe the lifeblood is draining out for the season. And we're reminded that, you know, there'll be a period of cold and dark. But, you know, in the spring, things will return and renew.
In Stony Creek Township, Somerset County, I'm Madison Goldberg with State Impact Pennsylvania.